Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 42. We're going to read through verse 45 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Matthew 5, 42 through 45. Let me say this before I start. Both sermons I will have preached by the end of today were written before Wednesday, just so you know. God knew exactly what we needed before I knew what we needed. Didn't know why we needed it, but as the week has unfolded, I found out why we needed it. And so please listen carefully, and I want to help you tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 42 through 45. Let's read this passage responsibly. Give to him that asketh thee, and of from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And let's pray. Lord, we sure do need you. Lord, as you and I were together last week and early this week, you saw what I did not see. Lord, you know these words were written before I knew what would take place. But Lord, I pray that you'd use these words tonight, salve our hearts, salve our spirits, and Lord, heal us so that we could help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think that I could speak for most all of us. We all like sunshine better than rain. We prefer warm weather over cold weather. Now, at least I do. Some of you crazy idiots like snow. I don't like it at all. But I know this. We've got to realize, though we like sunshine, it's not always going to be sunny. Matter of fact, around here lately, we're hoping it ever gets sunny. It's been crazy with all the rain. But let me say this. No matter what the weather, we can't control it, can we? You know, man has not figured a way to stop it raining or to stop the snow. I wish they could do the latter. Now, I'll be honest with you. My wife will tell you this. I hate using an umbrella. How many of you men agree with me? You hate, yeah, bless God. I hate umbrellas. Usually I get wetter trying to get the stupid thing put away than it is just to walk out in the rain. And about 13, 14 years ago, I was walking across Wise parking lot down here on Edwin Miller Boulevard in a thunderstorm one day, pushing a cart back to my car, and all of a sudden the lightning struck from about here to the piano and hit the tar in the ground and flew up in the ground. But I'm holding that umbrella in my hand, holding onto a cart, and the electricity went all the way through me. I couldn't throw the cart or the umbrella fast enough, and I tasted my fillings for about 2 or 3 days. I decided from that moment on, if it's thundering or lightning, I don't care how wet I get, that thing ain't coming out. I didn't like them before. I liked them even less after that. Amen. Now, I just can't stand using an umbrella. Now, I also don't like my glasses to get wet. I know that sounds dumb, so I'll either put them in my pocket or I'll walk around like this to keep them from getting wet. But I'd rather have wet glasses than taste my fillings again. Did you know that God sends the rain for those who love him, but God also sends the rain for those who hate him? God says it rains on the just and the unjust. God says he sends the sunshine and the warmth for those that love him and for those that are evil. God said he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Suffering is inevitable for all human beings. Yes. Let me say that again. Suffering is inevitable for every human being. It is a consequence that we're sinners. All right? Can I say this? Did you know that sickness is inevitable for all humans? There's not a person in the world that's going to be healthy every day of their life. Not a one of them. Did you realize that grief is a part of every human being's life? Everybody in this room has faced grief or will face grief. And if you have children, you face it every day. Did you know that problems will come to every human being? I'm not saying just to lost people. I'm saying to all people. You see, hang on, I'm trying to get the sound just right here. There we go. You got to realize that problems come to everybody. Problems come to the saved. Problems come to the lost. Sickness comes to the saved. Sickness comes to the lost. Grief comes to the saved. Grief comes to the lost. Suffering comes to those of us that are saved. Suffering comes to those that are not saved. Did you know that failure or failing comes to everybody? Say, preacher, I don't like failing. No, but you do it, and so does everybody else.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say you had to be a failure. Failing one time or failing again and again and again and again isn't failure. Failure is when you refuse to get back up. Failing means you just learn one more way not to do something. Amen? God knows I've learned lots of ways not to do things. Did you know that disappointments in other people come to everybody? Did you know that every person in the world will disappoint you at some point in time or another? It's going to happen. As much as I love Brother Stoltz, and as perfect as he is, did you know there's going to come a day where he might disappoint me? Can I tell you something? I'm not going to let it destroy my life. Guess what? There's going to come a time, Brother Stoltz, I'm going to disappoint you. And we ought not let it destroy us. See, by the way, did you know lost people are going to disappoint you?
Yes.
And did you know you're going to disappoint lost people?
How
many times have you been a place and heard, well, I didn't think Christians are supposed to act that way?
Exactly.
Hello. It's amazing. They know how Christians are supposed to act, but they don't act that way.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I don't care who you are or what you are. All of those things are going to come to your life. God says it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they're not going to face suffering, grief, problems, sickness, failing, misery, disappointment in people. Guess what? That's what the Pentecostals teach, and that's that prosperity gospel. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's garbage.
Amen.
Now, listen to me carefully. By the way, you say, well, look, sometimes like Christians suffer more. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. Because when we die, we go to heaven.
Amen.
When a lost person dies, their suffering is just starting.
Right.
Too many people, especially Christians, let these rainy, negative things destroy them. I'm going to use a term here, and my whole sermon is based on these two words. We as Christians need to learn to make room for these negative times. We've got to learn how to make room for these rainy days in our lives. Now, listen to this very carefully. I didn't say if the rainy days come. When the rainy days come.
That's right.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Again, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's not a matter of if it's coming. It is coming.
Amen.
You might have your head in a commode tonight, barfing your guts out, and you're going to be sick. Hopefully it's not me.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. But guess what? It's not because God hates you.
That's right.
It rains on the just and the unjust. It only destroys you when you don't make room for it in your life. Life is not all sunshine. Listen to me. A wise person makes room for those less desirable things in those less desirable times of life. We've had a lot happen. My wife's grandmother passed yesterday. The news of Ray this week. The news of the Avalar family in Kentucky. And that's just the tip of the iceberg for me right now. And I've had people say, "Preacher, are you okay? Are you making it?" Yeah, I am. I didn't say I wasn't hurting, but I'm making it. Can I tell you why? I make room for these things. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm not making provision for failure, but I will make provision for failing. I don't think anybody should just, after they get socked, lay down and roll over and play dead. When the devil takes a good old punch and punches me right square in the chin, I bounce right back up. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you get in a fight, son, don't lay in the ground, get back up. He's less apt to hit you if he doesn't think if you're going to take it and get back up. Now, hang on for a second here. Failure is part of success. When you learned to walk, you just didn't go from crawling on your knees to standing up and shooting across the room. And the older we get, the more we start falling again. Now, wait a minute. let me show you what I mean. When we graduated from college, we left. We went to Southern California. Beautiful weather. That's the only thing nice about Southern California. If you could move that weather here, we would have perfection. But it was great weather. Then we went from there to South Carolina. We were on the coast. My son's first, probably 6 years of life, he never saw snow. It was great. I had the best six winters of my life. No snow. But we were headed up to a big conference at one point in time in March in Indiana. We dropped my son off at my mom and dad's house. And, of course, every March in Indiana, it snows. Without fail, all right? And we were at the conference, and, of course, it's snowing. And my son must have been about 4 years old, maybe five. And he had never, ever, ever seen snow. Well, my mom was home, and she said, "Josh, look." Boy, he looked out, and it was snowing. He said, "What's that?" So she began to tell him, and he ran to another part of the house and looked out and said, "Grandma, look, it's snowing over here, too." He went to all parts of the house. He said, "It's snowing everywhere." And then he went out and played in it a while, found out it was cold. My dad helped him build a snowman. They put something on the top of it, and it didn't come to life, and he kicked it and said, "It's not frosty," and walked away. It's my boy. But that statement, "It's snowing everywhere." Can I tell you something? It rains on the just and the unjust. When we had 42 inches of snow in January, guess what? Or February. It snowed on the just and the unjust. A whole heap of it. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Nobody likes opposition. Nobody likes the rain. Nobody likes the attacks or enemies. Nobody likes people disappointing them. Nobody likes hurt and pain. But we have to make room for it when it happens. We can't always plan when it's going to happen. But we have to make room for it for when it does happen. If you don't, that's when it will destroy you. What happens is this. "Well, it's not in my schedule to do this." Well, it's in nobody's schedule to do it, but you got to make room for it sometimes. I like schedule, but not everything works just according to the way I schedule it. Now, it comes to all people. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. Our church has hit a hard time in the passing of Brother Ray. Now listen to me carefully, but it doesn't have to destroy us. Amen. I think the last thing in the world Brother Ray would want is for this to destroy our church. Now, he would want you to miss him, just so you know. You say, why? Because I knew Ray for an awfully long time. You talk about a guy, Rhonda and the girls and I were talking this week, And I said, Brother Ray is one of the easiest guys to ever have to do a funeral for, because you never have to forget any wrong, any bad that he did. Well, I won't say bad. Any negative. Ray was just, it could be snowing, raining, hurricanes, and tornadoes all at the same time, and Ray could find the positive side to it. He'd say, at least it wasn't an earthquake, preacher. Wouldn't he? He would. He always had a... I've known him a long time. I only saw him upset once. And thank God it was not at me. Only once in almost 30 years. He can't say that about me. But I can about him. He was just one of those guys. Now, listen to me. None of us were ready for it. I'll be honest with you. It was a gut punch. Rhonda will tell you, she had to tell me 3 times before I got it. Because it just, I can't be. Can't be. 27 years of the ministry, nothing's ever hit me like that. And, but I had to make room for it. Can I tell you something? I walked in here this morning, a little after 5. I walked up here and I said, Ray? He said, already took care of it, preacher. I'm face to face with Jesus. I already told him you need visitors today.
Amen.
Everything's all right. He's now talking to God for us, face to face. You talk about help. You say, are you worried about the building program? Not now. I got my buddy up there pulling for us, amen? It's going to rain on the unjust as well as the just. Do you know there's people all over this area that lost loved ones this week? It's not just our church. Just look in the news in the last 24 hours, how many have been murdered? Not the ones that have just passed away. It rains on the just and the unjust. I'm going to make about, 5 or 6 statements. I promise you they'll go fairly quickly. But I want you to listen to me tonight. I want to teach you how to make room for these things in your life. Number one, we must make room for heartbreak and grief in our life. We have to make room for it. We don't expect it, and we don't ever want to expect it, and we're not ready for bad news when it comes, but we've got to reserve a little spot in our life that says there's room for it when it comes. Every time my phone rings in the middle of the night, I make room for bad news. I really do. Yesterday, when the call came from my mother-in-law about my wife's grandmother passing, we had to make room for it. She had just called on Thursday. And she talked to her grandmother. She's not been talking, but my mother-in-law was there and said, here, I'm going to put the phone to her ear. She probably won't say anything to you, but go ahead and talk to her. She heard my wife's voice and said, it's Debbie. She has that effect on people. She recognized my wife's voice. We haven't seen her in years. Can I tell you something? That was sweet. Say, are we going to hurt? Are we going to miss her? Of course we are. But thank God for a place called heaven.
Amen.
The Avalar family. My soul. My heart has been crushed for those people. I've been through situations like this before, but it's been many, many years, and what a tragedy. I told somebody today, look, God's going to use them in a very special way, those that survive. God's got a very great plan for them. I watched what God did with Rhonda this morning, winning those 2 girls of the Lord right here. God's got a plan. I don't understand it. God never told me to understand him. He just said, trust him. He said, make room for it. You know how grieved the disciples were when they crucified Jesus? They knew who he was. Think about how bad they were hurting. We know something will come. We just don't know when, and we don't know what, but we have to strengthen ourselves for when it does come. Set our resolve so that when it does come, we don't let it destroy us. I choose not to let that opposition destroy me. I choose for it to make me stronger, not make me cower and cry and run away. I didn't say I didn't weep and mourn and hurt, but I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to back up. I'm going forward. See, too many people don't make room for it, and they allow it to destroy them. Now, listen to me carefully. Don't let heartache and grief destroy you. Make room for it in your life. You're going to have to take a little bit of time and make some room in there and get ready for it. It's coming. Maybe some of these tragedies haven't hit you quite as personally. Get ready. They're coming to you someday. Learn from them so that when it does come, that you're ready for it. Thinking of Miss Kim back here. We were in Kentucky and she called and said, Preacher, my mother-in-law was in a car wreck and broke her leg in two different places and some bunch of ribs and she was having trouble breathing. And oh, my soul, y'all don't understand. I hate answering the phone anymore. It gets a little tough every once in a while. You say, Preacher, how do you make it? I make room for it, and I get myself stronger each time so that when the news comes, I can make it through.
Amen.
By the way, it doesn't mean I don't cry. It doesn't mean I don't hurt. But I'm not going to let that pain, I'm not going to let that hurt destroy me. Number two, it's time to laugh. I'm not going to let getting older destroy me. Tomorrow I start my 50th year of life. Boy, does that sound old. I have my 49th birthday tomorrow. I know, April, you passed it a long time ago, so it doesn't matter. But tomorrow I start my 50th year of life. All right? Did you know something? I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm not. Now, listen very carefully here. Yes, it is my 50th year. I'm finishing my 49th year. That's my 49th birthday. That means I've lived 49 whole years. Some of you can't figure that out yet. I'm beginning my 50th year. Trust me, I didn't misspeak on that one. All right? Your birthday doesn't start the day you were hatched, all right? It starts a year later, so it's a year behind, all right? Got to explain it for you blondes. There's a difference between gray and blonde, Ron. Gray has an excuse. Now, listen to me. Did you know I've made room for every age of life I've hit? Now, listen to me. I'm not discouraged. You say, what are you going to do for your 50th, preacher? I'm going to be as happy as I was for my 25th. Matter of fact, I'll be twice as happy because I'll be twice as old. Amen? I'm not worried about it. My wife and I talked years ago. I'm going to enjoy every stage of life. I've enjoyed my children. I enjoyed most of the time they were little. It was harder to enjoy as teenagers. Now that they're all gone, they're great to enjoy.
Really?
Yeah, buddy. And I enjoy my children. I'm enjoying the age my daughter is right now and what she's going through. And I'm enjoying the college years for them. I'm enjoying the young adult life for my other two. I really am. Say, what's going to happen when you're a grandpa? I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to spoil them rotten and send them back worse than they were when they were brought back from their grandparents. Yeah, buddy. You reap what you sow, amen? Oh, wait a minute. I decided, though, I was going to enjoy it. Now, I'm not quite ready for some little kid to call me Pawpaw yet or Grandpa, but when it comes, it'll happen and it'll be okay. Might take a little while to get used to, but they say it happens pretty quick. No big deal. Say, well, that means you're getting older, preacher. Yeah, so are you. Same rate. Do you know we're all getting... Yeah. The alternative isn't the best, you know? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to let getting older bother me. I'm really not. I'm not going to let it discourage me. I was talking to a younger preacher this, about a week or so ago. And they said, how in the world do you keep going everything you're doing? I said, what do you mean? Well, you're not young anymore. I said, shut up. I said, I'll work circles around you. I said, I've built up all these years of work. I said, I don't know that I could slow down if I wanted to. My body doesn't know what to do. I plan on wearing out, not rusting out.
Yes.
Say, well, you might wear yourself out early. Well, bless God, at least I did something. I'd rather wear out than rust out. I'm not going to let getting older destroy me. I'm going to embrace it. I've made room for it. I have. I have made room for every age. Now, I'll be honest with you. 20 was the worst birthday I ever had in my life. I don't know why, but 20 was traumatic. I'd been preaching to teenagers for years. I could reach teenagers. I was a teenager. For the first time in my life, I had to think. Because I couldn't say, I'm one of you. All of a sudden, I'm 20. I'm not a teenager anymore. It was, woo, man, that was hard. Took me a couple weeks to get through that one. Believe me, I'm glad I passed 20 a long time ago. I've not worried about 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 or 45. 50 doesn't sound real good, but it's getting awful close. But can I tell you something? I'm not going to worry about it. So I'm not going to let getting older destroy me. We've got to make room for heartbreak. Number three, I'm not going to let people criticizing or being negative about me destroy me. Did you know somebody's going to say something that you don't like? I know that's a surprise. Did you know somebody's going to say, well, I just don't agree with you? Do you know I have people say, preacher, I don't agree with you? I don't let it destroy me. I really don't. Now, just because somebody disagrees with you or criticizes you a bit doesn't mean you should write them off. You need to swallow your pride. Maybe they're right and you're wrong. Maybe it is you didn't explain yourself as thoroughly as you thought you did. I've had people come to me after I've preached, and they've said, preacher, I don't think that's right. There's a couple times I've corrected myself because they were right and I was wrong. Just so you know. Everybody doing all right? I didn't write them off. I don't think they're a critic. I thank God they're looking out for me not to make mistakes. I don't look at them and say, boy, I wish they were loyal. They shouldn't ever say, oh, wait a minute, they've not done it in public. They can come to my office anytime and say they disagree, and we'll haggle through it. Sometimes we just have to agree we disagree with each other, and it's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm not writing you off. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. You know, I don't get panicky and upset if somebody says, preacher, I don't think you ought to have done that. I might step back and look at it. And sometimes I'll say, you know what? I should have handled that a little differently. There's other times I'll say, it doesn't matter. I did it anyway. Sometimes there's a reason they don't see all the facts. But there's other times they're looking out to protect me. Thank God for it. See, some of you take it way too personal. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I don't force people to have the same opinion I have. If I teach or preach something and I'll say, this is my opinion. You have the right to disagree with me, and I'm not going to separate with you over it. Amen? I'll say, this is my opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want.
Amen.
All right? And I'll let you know when it's an opinion. But when it comes to salvation, it's not an opinion. It's in the book.
Yes, sir.
Solid doctrine. All right? Can I tell you something? Learn to disagree with people without being upset. Do you know I have people that don't hold the same ethics that I hold, but I'm not going to get upset? It might smart a little bit. I might have to swallow my pride a little bit, but I'm not going to expect them to live by my ethics. How about you? Some of you, if they don't totally agree with you, it's to the booger man they go. Well, just because it affects you doesn't mean that it's all wrong. I don't sometimes know if it's a matter of right and wrong. I think sometimes it's a matter of good and best. And if somebody chooses good over best, at least it wasn't wrong.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having a good time here. Learn to disagree without being angry and upset with each other. Number four, I gotta hurry. I'm not going to let failing destroy me, but I must make room for it. Do you know you have to make room in your life for failing? Can I tell you why? You're going to fail. Some of you, all I got to do is pull your report cards and we can find that out for sure. Did you know almost everybody fails at least one test in their life? Brother Mike was fortunate if he only failed just one a day. Oh, my soul. You know, failure is refusing to get up, but failing is a part of success. Do you know what the recipe for success is? You fail and 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 you succeed. Good night, Thomas Edison. Over 1,000 times to get the incandescent light bulb. Do you know what? That the first time he did it, he used a carbon fiber. The only thing different between the first one and the 1,000th one is he turned, he took the oxygen out of the bulb, and the very first idea was the right idea. He just didn't have the vacuum. But he tried 999 other ways before he got it right. Hello. Some of you would have called him a failure. You ought to thank God for Thomas Edison. Or you'd still be using coal oil lamps. Boy, do those things stink. Wait a minute. Failing means that you've learned a way that doesn't work. And that you've learned a way that there is a way to succeed. You just found out which road not to travel down again. Can I tell you something? No church or organization has success in every area at all times. Okay. Did you know we had a great day today? But if I showed you the numbers for Sunday school classes, a couple were lower this week than they were last week, but some were higher than last week. Doesn't mean every week you have more in your Sunday school class. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm going somewhere. Hang on here. Can I tell you something? There's going to be days that we're going to have low days at Grace Baptist Church.
That's right.
Don't let it discourage you. Go out and win somebody and bring them with you.
Amen.
We have lots of visitors. Can I tell you something? There may be a day or two where we don't have visitors, but guess what? God didn't die when we didn't have visitors.
Right.
Just forced us to go out and work a little harder. Hey, I'm not worried about having everything all succeeding and all sunshine all the time. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust.
Yes.
Right. Nothing's going to be all puppy dogs and pussy willows and sunshine.
Right.
Every once in a while, you got to clean up after that puppy dog. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They leave Tootsie Rolls in the yard for you. Next. I'm not going to let stress in a marriage destroy me. I'm going to make room for it. You say, yeah, I'll build her a room out in the shed. That's not what I'm talking about. Did you know that fantasy never includes reality? You young people, you have this fantasy idea of marriage. It's not real. Let me tell you. Guess what? He'll go to bed and his feet stink and he'll wake up and his breath smells. And by the way, so do yours. It's not all perfect. Quit poking each other. It's getting a little personal in here, amen? Did you know that not every marriage is going to be stress-free? Say why? Because men and women think from different planets.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean both are wrong or either is wrong. We just have to learn how to work through the stresses. Do you know you're going to have good times financially and you're going to have no finances sometimes? Good night. My wife and I's first apartment. I love this place. Our first apartment was about the size of those two offices right there, the whole apartment. And that's a bathroom, a kitchen, and a bedroom.
Wow.
I mean, it was tiny. I'm not kidding. The bathrooms here are four times the size of our bathroom. Good night. Yeah, you remember that thing, don't you? You could take a shower, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, and not move. I'm not kidding. You literally didn't have to take one step in any direction to do either of those. It was great. I mean, yeah, I'm not lying. It was that small. It was bad. Now, wait a minute. We thought it was great till 1 o'clock in the morning and the train came through, or 1:30 in the morning, and the light shines right through the double glass sliding door. And you're thinking, oh, God, it's going to hit the place. Even so, Lord, come Jesus quickly. Good night. Now, wait a minute. Did you know you have to plan for those negative times? I remember as I taught my wife to do the checkbook, and I remember the first time a check or two bounced. I didn't take the checkbook away from her. I taught her how to do it. She wanted me to take the checkbook, but I needed my wife to be able to do it because someday I may not be there, and she needs to learn how to run the finances. And we worked through it. You say, but didn't you get upset? No. That's part of learning, isn't it? It put a little stress on things every once in a while. But can I tell you something? I'm not going to let those things destroy my marriage. Everybody doing all right? Did you know that financial pressures come to everybody, saved and lost?
Yes, sir.
Marriage stresses come to the saved and lost. Did you know my wife and I didn't always agree with how the children should be disciplined? I know that surprises you. But there's times she would come aside and say, I don't think we're going to handle it that way. And we'd talk about it. Now, we didn't do it while it was going on. But we would talk about it. And we'd talk about it civilly, just so you know. And most times she was right and I was wrong. Every once in a while I'd say, this one needs it. Hard-headed. As my dad would say, got a hard head, you're going to have a soft where you sit. It'll get tenderized, amen? And I still believe every boy in the world needs beet every morning before breakfast, just to make sure you got enough of it, amen? Say why? Because that's the way you rear boys. Now, I'm not condoning child abuse, but boys just seem to need a little bit more stick than the girls do. I don't know why, but there's a lot of girls that need the stick too.
Yeah.
All right, number six, and I'm done here. Listen, everybody look this way. I will not let my children's failing destroy me or my wife. Did you know that if my child fails, it's not going to destroy me?
Right.
I've heard this. It came my way. It's come other pastors' ways. Their adult children will do something wrong. And preachers all over the country, you ought to resign. Your children did bad. You ought to resign. That's a bunch of garbage from Hades.
That's right.
You know, there's no difference between my children and your children.
Right.
No difference between my children and your children. None.
Right.
We all answer to God for ourselves.
Right.
Everybody doing all right?
Right.
I'm going to make a statement here. God has had billions of people on the face of this earth and probably billions of children, and only one was perfect. I guess you wouldn't accept what he did either, huh? Matter of fact, every one of his children but one has failed.
Right.
Guess he's not a real good God, huh? Hello. You know, did you know you're going to have to make room for your children failing? Neil, when my children started getting bad grades, I didn't worry about it. If they failed, they repeat the grade. I didn't have to be shameful about it. Now, I worked real hard to make sure they didn't, but bless God, if they did, they're going to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, not me. My daughter will tell you, I don't stay on her about her college work. Get it done. Say why? She'll pay for it again if she doesn't. She's going to learn a hard lesson. I've never been one to get all upset if my kid failed a test. Now, if I think it's because of laziness, I'll get on them for their laziness, but not because of a bad grade, but because of the laziness.
Yes.
Everybody doing all right?
Yep. Come on.
Make room for your children growing up.
That's right.
I watch mommies I was a principal in a Christian school. They'd bring their kids to kindergarten, and the kids are having a great day, and mom walks away crying. My baby's going away on the gag. I'm sorry. I know you love them, but let them grow up. You can't stop it. You know, I didn't cry a whole lot at graduation. When they graduated from high school. Matter of fact, I was, oh, yeah. One's leaving, amen? I was happy for them. I didn't want my mom and dad holding me back. I was ready to go. I really didn't even cry at college graduation. I cried a little bit because of some things Dr. Jorgensen said, and Josh had his testimony included in when he graduated. It was like, whew. And the only reason I cried is because Dr. J was. I'd have been okay had he not done that mess, but I wasn't mourning over it. I was proud of him. There's a kid that, honestly, I'll show you 1,000 that don't get back. He did. It's unusual. And I was very pleased. I was thankful for God's wonderful grace.
Yes, Trey.
I really was. But I'm also proud of the one that's going to school. I'm proud of the one that's working in a machine shop and working another job, paying his own bills, didn't graduate from college, put a year in Bible college to get his head screwed on, and doing well and is a solid layman in the church. By the way, I'm just as proud of the other two as I am the other. In some ways, more proud because they didn't screw up.
Exactly.
Everybody doing all
right?
I had people say, you ought to resign the ministry. Your son's doing wrong. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Amen. Go read your Bible. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Did you know when my kids get married, I've married one off. Now, it was a little bit emotional because I know what they're launching into, but I wasn't mourning it. I was getting a daughter-in-law. I was getting another daughter. Thank God. She can rear him the rest of the way, not me. Whew. I said, Ruth Ann, we tried for 22, 23 years. Your baby now. I'm bagging off. Wait a minute. Yeah, there was some emotion that goes with it, but it's not destroyed me. I'm excited. I really am. I'm not mourning those things. You know, nobody likes to have things go contrary to the way we have it planned. But listen to this statement. Reality is not calculated in fantasy. I leave room in my schedule every day and every week for unplanned things. For unscheduled things, so that it doesn't shake me. So if I have to move something around, it doesn't just totally blow me out of the saddle. Everybody doing all right? Some of you, if you can't go to the store at this day, at this time, the whole week's going to go to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. God bless you. And I'm glad you like schedule, but guess what? That's not reality. Now, I believe in schedule. But I also believe that we've got to make room for those places in life to where you're going to have a flat tire. We were in Kentucky, and we were at Josh and Ruth Ann's. And Jeff, he said, did you ever have one of those days, Dad? I said, what do you mean? He said, when you loan your roommate your jack, and they didn't put it back in your car, and now you have a flat tire. I said, oh, no. And he was working a second job making some deliveries. I said, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to run down and get some Fix-A-Flat. He said, there's a Speedway just down the street. So he ran down, got a can of Fix-A-Flat, came back, and he said, I can't get the cap off the stem of the tire. He said, it's rusted on. I said, go get a pair of pliers. He said, they didn't have any at the gas station. I said, is there Walgreens or something? He said, yeah. So he ran down there, got some WD-40 and a pair of pliers, ran back to his car. Finally got that thing. He said, I had to break the cap off. I said, no problem. He said, I think I hit a pothole and blew the sidewall off. Oh, my soul. He said, I got a spare. He said, I think there's enough air in it. There's an AutoZone down the road. So he got just enough air in it to get it down the road. I said, if you go in there, they'll let you borrow a jack. I said, you don't have to buy one. He texted me back. He's growling. He said, "Dad, those jerks." He said, "They wouldn't let me borrow one. I had to buy one. They stood there and laughed at me while I changed the tire in the rain." I said, "Change the tire, take the jack back, and tell them you want your money back."
There you go.
He did. He said, "They didn't think that was as funny as I did." I said, "That's experience talking, dude." To tell them you don't need your jack anymore and what they can do with it. Can I tell you something? You got to plan for those things. You got to leave room for those things. He got back. I said, "Did you get your jack back?" He said, "Oh, I got a jack, Dad." Can I tell you something? We got to make room for those things in our life so that they don't destroy us. Nobody likes contrary things, but make room for them for when they do come. You don't know when it's coming. There's no way a week ago tonight we could have planned what we would face in the next 7 days. No way. But we had to make room for it. Because it rains on the just and the unjust. Listen to this statement. Whether you plan for it or not, it's coming. So we may as well plan on it so that when it does come, we're ready for it. Well, it just seems like there's so much right now. Yeah, it comes in waves. Good night. You ought to have been on staff at First Baptist in Indiana under Brother Hiles. We had more people in our church than live in the city of Martinsburg. Wow. That's not a lie. We would average 20, 25,000 people every Sunday in church. Martinsburg's 18,700 and some people. Do you know how many deaths we dealt with every week? Think of how many people die in this city every week. That's what we did as a church all the time. And you don't get used to it. I mean, you know these people. You talk about sick people. We had one full-time staff person. All they did was visit hospitals every day, 7 days a week. And we're talking about all over the Chicagoland area. I understand. You got to make room for it. You're not always ready for it. But we've got to make room so we don't let it destroy us. It just seems like negative, 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 negative. Folks, three people got saved today.
Amen.
We've had 8 or 9 people saved this week out soul winning. We had visitors today. We're going to see more people saved this week. Why are you looking at all the negative? Why don't we look at all the positive? Well, I just don't understand. Those people that went to heaven. Yeah, they're walking streets of gold doing fine. Everything's going to be all right. I promise you. You know, it's going to rain. It's going to rain on the just. It'll rain on the unjust. And as my son said the first time he saw snow, it's snowing everywhere. Yeah, and it's going to come everywhere. From all angles, on all people, every head bowed, every eye closed. Somewhere, tucked inside the sermon tonight, was something you needed. I don't have to ask if you did. I know you did. I know I did.